very happy to be here again amongst all of you. The last time I had a program like this was 12 years ago, in 2006. But at that time it was not a big hall like this. It was some home programs only we had done. So I'm happy to be in here and see so many new faces. And you have a nice name, Avatari Desh.
Avatari Desh.
Avatari Desh. So today we can speak about the Avatari. Yes? Who is the Avatari?
Krishna.
Krishna. Where does he live? Vrindavan. So Avatari Desh means Vrindavan. It is the place of residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all the avatars, Krishna. He lives in Vrindavan. So Avatari Desh means Vrindavan. So let us sing about some of the activities, the pastimes that Krishna does in Vrindavan.
Yashomati Nandana Vrajabharanagara Gokula Ranjana Kana.
Govinda Mata Vanita Taskara,
Govinda Mata
All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya
Chakshurunmilitam yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapradantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangvam Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Vinatarinam Vanchakalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayavacha Vatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratushe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tamayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidu Pasana Vrajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Brahmanamamalam Prema Kumartho Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Tatradara Naparaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Shushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna
Janmashtami of course is a very joyous occasion for all of us because it is the appearance day of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Avatari Krishna. The appearance days of the Lord are very significant for all devotees because it is the time when the Lord descends into this world for fulfilling His divine purposes. His disappearance days are not at all attractive for the devotees. Therefore, you will see, we celebrate the appearance day of the Lord, but we do not celebrate His disappearance. But for the great devotees, we celebrate not only their appearance, but even greater celebrations are held for their disappearance. Because the devotees of the Lord, when they are born, are not well known in the society. Maybe there is some astrological prediction, like in the case of Srila Prabhupada, that he will do wonderful things, he will cross the oceans, and he will spread
Bhagavad Dharma all over the world. So these predictions were there, but only the parents knew about it. The world at large did not know much about this at all. And even as a devotee, as a young devotee, only in his 20s, as a young householder, his spiritual master noted. When the devotees used to say to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur about Srila Prabhupada, who at that time was known as Abhay Charanaravind Das, they would say, Abhay Babu, he should quit his business and join the temple full time. We need intelligent people like him who can speak very nicely and who know the philosophy very well and who are so dedicated and devoted. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, a time will come when he will do wonderful things. So being an exalted devotee of the Lord, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur understood that his disciple Abhay Charanaravinda Das, actually was Abhay Charanaravinda Daita Das. So he will do wonderful things in future. But that was of course when he was already a devotee of the Lord. But in the beginning, hardly anybody knew what he would accomplish. But by the time he disappeared, by the time his disappearance pastime happened in 1977, just see how famous he had become. He had become a world famous personality. He had started a movement that was revolutionary, that had shaken up the whole world. There was a time in the early days of the movement when some governments also in the world became very alarmed, and they thought if this Hare Krishna movement spreads, they will take over the whole world. So that was the scale of the expansion of the Krishna consciousness movement. So, and now as time goes on, more and more devotees will become involved in this movement. Thousands upon thousands of devotees all over the world. And even those who are not devotees, many, many of them know about Srila Prabhupada. So when we observe the ceremony of his passing away from this world, his divine disappearance pastime, that is very significant for us. Because now, by the time of his disappearance, the world knows his glories. At the time of the appearance, hardly anybody knows his glories. So therefore, even though the appearance day of the great Acharyas are very important for us, the disappearance days are even more important. But for the Lord, the appearance days are very important. Disappearance days we don't like to think about. That brings great grief to the devotees. The Lord has disappeared from our midst. So you know the kind of feelings that the Pandavas had when they heard news that Lord Krishna has departed from this world. So they became so sad that they understood that very inauspicious things would happen in this world. And they were so attached to Lord Krishna, they had so much devotion for him, that they could not bear the thought of living in this world without him. So they said, what is the use of all our kingdom, our wealth, our royal position? So they gave up everything. They installed King Parikshit, the grandson of Arjun, the son of Abhimanyu, as the king. And then the five brothers, followed by Draupadi, they all went into the Himalayas and renounced the world. So we see that the disappearance of the Lord causes great grief for the devotees, but the appearance days give great joy, because the Lord descends into this world to inaugurate so many wonderful pastimes that attract the devotees here. The people of the world become very attracted to the Lord, they understand his mission, there are some things that are very important about the Lord. Most of you look like you are from India, I suppose. I don't think there is anybody. But even if you are not from India, it is important to note that in India, unfortunately, in every city, practically in every lane, you will have some avatar. Isn't it? Every day, some of the other person will claim to be an avatar. And people are so innocent and gullible in general that they also accept that person as avatar. That he has arrived. Just because maybe he has some charismatic personality, he can speak very eloquently, and maybe he can produce some ash from somewhere, he can perform a little small miracle, maybe he can levitate, maybe he can walk on the water a little bit. Because of that, they think this is an avatar, this is God, this is the Supreme Lord. But that is not the way we understand the Supreme Lord. His appearance is a very serious business. And devotees must understand this, and the general public also must understand this very clearly. One time, there was this young boy from a particular village. Now, he became a sadhu. And he went into the Himalayas and started performing austerities. He did much penance, performed the yoga asanas and many, many things like this for many years. And finally, he acquired some mystic powers, siddhis. And the power that he acquired was that he could walk on the water. Just see how mind-boggling it is to ordinary people. Suppose you and I are standing and we see someone is walking on the lake. Will we not be very astonished? But at least we know some philosophy. So we'll know he is a yogi. And this is a mystic siddhi, either because of some penance in this life or some previous life. Sometimes people have the mystic powers even because of penance acquired in previous life. And they don't even know how they have these powers. It happens. One devotee was explaining, he met a yogi who had such extraordinary powers, but in his personality there was nothing spiritual about him. He used to get angry very fast. He was always eager for appreciation. If someone did not respect him, he would get again very upset. He was very greedy. So there was no signs of spirituality in that person. But he had some extraordinary mystic powers. So obviously those mystic powers he must have received because of some tapasya, some yoga abhyas, some practice of yoga, etc. in some previous life. So as devotees, if we see somebody doing such a thing, we are not very impressed. Okay, some part of us, which is not a devotional part, will be impressed. The non-devotional part of our psychology will be impressed. OMG, we will send. We will send by Facebook. OMG, just saw a man walking on water. And somebody will say LOL, something, whatever they like, I don't know. I don't even know what it means actually. Anyway, something, you write. No? So people will just get so impressed by these little things. I'll come back to the story of the young man who goes into the village austerity and he comes back to the village. But I'll hold that story in suspense for a few minutes. One time there was a yogi who came to New Vrindavan, one of our centers in America. Srila Prabhupada was also there at that time. And this yogi, he had such power. There was some big vehicle, petrol or diesel vehicle. And there was a rope that was tied to the rear end of the vehicle. And the rope went, he held it with his teeth. And the devotee was told, you pull the vehicle in the opposite direction, you drive it. So he started the engine and he was revving the accelerator and he was holding the car and the car would not move. Such was the power of his teeth. I'm also having toothache, so I can well appreciate the power of such teeth. Just see, you can hold. Prabhupada incidentally said they may have powerful teeth, but when they have toothache, they have to run to dentist. So I was joking with the devotees that at least I am not claiming I am an avatar, so I can go to the dentist safely. So there was also, that's how devotees were very impressed. And when Prabhupada heard about these things, he was not impressed at all. One time one magician came to New Vrindavan and he made so many things disappear. You put something in a hat and something else came out, and all sorts of things he made disappear. And Prabhupada also enjoyed the magic tricks because it was just some entertainment. And this man was basically very respectful to Srila Prabhupada. And he had some kind of a pious devotional mentality. So then Prabhupada enjoyed the whole show. And then he told the magician, I think it was P.C. Sarkar. And he told him, you have made many things disappear. You are a good magician. But can you make birth and death disappear? And that magician was very humble. He said, no, Swamiji, that you can do. That sort of magic only you can do. Yes? I cannot do that kind of magic. So devotees understand what is the real magic. Real magic is to be delivered from the cycle of birth and death. When Prabhupada went to America, By that time, before him and also around the same time as he went, lots of Swamis and Yogis and Babas from India had come to America. And some of them would show these mystic powers. They would produce something from somewhere, they would levitate, and they would do all these things. So one time one press reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, can you show some miracle? They intended to have Prabhupada show some miracle like producing some gold from somewhere. But Prabhupada said, I will not show those kind of miracles. I will show you my miracle. Then he pointed to some of his disciples who were sitting there, American young people who had shaven head and tilak, and they were chanting. He said, see, I have made hippies into happies. This is my miracle. Earlier they were taking all kinds of drugs. They were taking intoxicants, they were violating all the regulatory principles, they were drinking alcohol and doing so many other things that are very sinful. And today, just see, they have become so saintly. They have surrendered their lives to Lord Krishna. This is a real miracle. Just, you know, making some gold from somewhere, producing some ash from somewhere, that is not a real miracle. But this is the real difficult thing to do in life. So anyway, we'll come back now to the story of this young man who went into the Himalayas. He came back after many years and he had acquired this power of walking on the water. So he went back to his village and he was eager to show off his power. So there was an announcement on Facebook and everything. In those days, of course, you know, they didn't have Facebook, thankfully. Nevertheless, by some means, they had some publicity. And in village, you don't need much time to publicize something. A lot of gossip happens in the villages and in human society in general. So the word spread very fast. So all the villagers gathered at the time that this spectacle was supposed to happen. A time had been fixed. Actually, someone should take care of the children to see they don't come and go. This discipline must be there. They must sit at one place, or some facility must be organized for them outside. Okay. So this man, he was young man, he was ready now to show his spectacle. The whole village had gathered and he walked across the river and he walked back. And everybody was struck with wonder and they were all clapping and they all considered him, he is a new god. Bhagavan, he has descended into this world to show these miracles. And there was one person who was skeptical. He was not impressed. So he asked this person, he said, no, this is nothing great. I don't accept this. So all the villagers were struck with wonder. How can you say this? So that yogi himself came and said, why do you not appreciate what I have done? He said, see, I am a simple person and I think I cannot do the kind of things that you have done. But what you did for 12 years by doing austerity in the Himalayas, I can do just in 5 minutes. So how is that? Because you see, when I work for 5 minutes, I earn about 25 paisa. And 25 paisa I pay the boatman, he will take me across and bring me back. So what you can do after 12 years of tapasya in the Himalayas, I can do by 5 minutes of work. I can sit in a boat and cross and come. So you can cross over the river and come back. So what is the big thing? I can do the same thing by sitting in a boat. So the value of your tapasya is only 25 paisa. So he was very upset, but the villagers, the intelligent ones among them, they understood. So you see, by yogic powers, you can do many things. Prabhupada spoke about one yogi who used to go into the Ganga at Haridwar and he used to emerge at Calcutta. So he would go into the water and swim all the way by his yogic power, and very quickly he would emerge in Calcutta. Yogic power. But Prabhupada said, no, not very impressed by this. So today submarines can do the same thing. By your science and technology, you can also do such miraculous things of going in the water for hundreds and thousands of miles you can go. There are some yogis who can fly in the air, go from one place to another place. Today we are doing that by aeroplanes. So whatever feats you can achieve by yoga, by yogic powers, you can achieve by science and technology. So what is the big thing that has been achieved? So simply because someone has accomplished some yogic feats, does it mean he becomes God? By that reckoning, all the scientists and technology should be considered God. Actually, unfortunately, they almost are like God today. Everybody believes them as the last word in everything. Because science is something everybody believes in blindly. Because technology has accomplished so much, so we believe in it blindly. So the point is that because somebody has shown some miracles or some extraordinary powers, it doesn't mean that he is God. Because people do not understand what it means to be God. That is the problem. They don't have knowledge of the scripture. They don't have knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, any little thing they say, oh, this is God. Actually, there are at least 4 conditions that must be fulfilled if somebody is to be understood as God. Unless that person has these criteria fulfilled, we will not accept that person as God. Now, all of you are scholars in Bhagavad Gita. Yes, you have heard, you have studied, you are very faithful and knowledgeable devotees. So please tell me, what are the conditions that must be fulfilled if someone has to be accepted as God according to Vedic scriptures? You may raise your hand and you may answer. Give one point at a time. Yes.
There should be prediction in the scripture.
Excellent. There must be prediction in the scripture. Unless someone is predicted in advance, long before, you cannot say, I am an avatar. The first thing we will ask him is, my dear sir, where is the prediction about you being an avatar? If you are not predicted in the scripture, we cannot accept you as God. Kalki avatar, you have heard of him? When will he come? At the end of Kali Yuga. He will come sitting on a horse with his sword. He will destroy all the miscreants. Because by that time nobody will be in a position to listen to any philosophy or pastimes. Only the sword will work. Yes? So he will come at the end of Kali Yuga. Nowadays in India, in South India especially, there is a popular Kalki avatar. he has appeared. So those of you who are from South India may have heard of him, especially Chennai. One time I was going from Chennai to Tirupati, and one devotee pointed out, this is the ashram of Kalki Avatar. So this Kalki Avatar, so-called Kalki Avatar, was in Kumbh Mela one time. And huge crowds had gathered to have darshan of this avatar. So one of our sannyasis, he saw this and he said, I must go and meet this person. And I must challenge him. Because you see, these false avatars, they create so much havoc in the society. So much disturbance they create. And they spread ignorance in the masses, not knowledge. So it is a great disservice to the world at large. So this one of our ISKCON sannyasis, he went to the so-called Kalki Avatar after the lecture. He was speaking nonsense in the lecture. No philosophy, no Bhagavad Gita, nothing. Yeah? So after the lecture, he went and met him. He said, you claim you are Kalki Avatar? So he said, yes. So, were you born in Shambhala village? He said, no. Then where were you born? He gave the name of some place. Saying, is your father's name Vishnu Yasha? He says, no, his father's name was something else. So he says, Kalki Avatar, it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, his father's name is Vishnu Yasha. He is going to be born in Shambhala Grama. But your father's name is neither Vishnu Yasha, nor you are born in Shambhala Grama. Moreover, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, it is predicted, Kalki Avatar will appear at the end of Kali Yuga. So, how is it that you have appeared so early? Kali Yuga end is still 400,000 years away. How come you have appeared so early? He asked him that question sarcastically. He said, I have appeared early because I could not tolerate the suffering of the people. So therefore I have appeared early. So this is the situation in India. And ordinary people also in the land of Dharma, Punya Bhumi, unfortunately, do not have this knowledge. So they are easily misled, misguided. It is creating a lot of disturbance and unfortunate things there in the society. So we must learn this philosophy very clearly. So one of the important symptoms by which we can understand whether somebody is an avatar or not is that he must have been predicted in the scriptures long before. Not that you can manufacture some scripture and say, I am predicted in this scripture. No. In the already existing Vedic scriptures, he must have been there, he must have been mentioned, and his details must be mentioned. What is his name? Where will he be born? How will he appear? Etc. So that is one condition. Okay? What is the second condition? Anyone? Yes?
He should perform some extraordinary activity.
Very nice. He should perform some extraordinary activities, but that yogi also has performed extraordinary activities, isn't it? He also was walking on the water. So isn't that an extraordinary activity? Somebody may ask you.
It should be superhuman activity.
It should be superhuman activity, okay. But isn't walking on water a superhuman activity? It should be superhuman. Not even possible with technology. For example, Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill. Is it possible? Is it just a superhuman feat? If any of you have seen weightlifting competitions, you know how difficult it is to lift just 100 kilos or 200 kilos. I don't know how much they lift. For those of you who are parents and lifting your children, yes, you know how difficult it is. Sometimes you may get a backache trying to lift the child, etc. So Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill is not just an ordinary superhuman activity. It is extraordinarily superhuman. It is something that is impossible for other humans to do. You see, in the case of the yogi walking on the water, at least there are other yogis who can do the same thing. But lifting Govardhan hills, no one but God can do. Nobody else, no other human being can imitate that or perform that same activity. That is what we mean by superhuman, which is impossible for other human beings to do. But walking on water is possible for other human beings to do. Right? So that is a second condition that must be fulfilled if somebody is to be accepted as God. Third condition. Yes. Okay, excellent. Do we have prasadam at the end of the program?
Yes, yes.
Yes. Some special prasadam must be given to him.
Yeah.
Very nice. What is your name?
Kishori.
Kishori, appropriate name also. It is Radharani's name. So, he must have some auspicious markings where not only on the palms, you mentioned the palms, certainly on the palms, but also on the soles of the feet. Like for example, can you mention some of the things? You mentioned shankha, chakra, what else?
Ankush.
Ankush, the goad, elephant goad. Then vajra, the weapon.
Fish.
The fish, lotus. So there are many such symbols that should be there, chinna. Many such insignia that should be there on the soles of the feet and the palms of the hand. And also the body must be structured in such a way that will be described in the scriptures. Very auspicious marks of the body of a very, very extraordinary personality. The proportions of the different limbs of the body, all these things must be described in the scripture. It is not that tomorrow anyone can come and say, I am an avatar. Yes? So that is the third condition. Any more conditions? Yes?
He should be above the three modes of material nature.
He should be above the three modes of material nature? Yes. That is a fact. But how to see that? Somebody will say, I am above the three modes of material nature. How will you have to test it? No? So what you are saying is correct. He has to be, and of course if you analyze him, you will see whether he is sattvic or rajasic or tamasic. But you see, the point is, even sometimes Krishna acted in a way that make people think he is rajasic, sattvic or tamasic. For example, when Krishna and Balaram go to Sandipani Muni's ashram in Avanti, that activity is a sattvic activity for ordinary humans. They go to an ashram in the countryside. They learn Vedic knowledge from the Guru as children. It's very education. It's a very sattvic activity. But is Krishna sattvic? No. He is transcendental to sattva. When Krishna fights in the battlefield, or when Krishna does the Rasa Leela, if one man is dancing with many ladies, is it a sattvic activity or what kind of activity? It is a rajasic activity. It is in the mode of passion. If somebody is fighting in the battle, what kind of activity is it? A rajasic activity. So when Krishna is dancing Rasa Leela or is fighting in the battle, is he doing rajasic activity? It appears that he is doing rajasic activity. But for those who understand who is Krishna, he is always transcendental. Similarly, let us say, if somebody very violently kills another person, he cuts open his stomach and his chest, and he takes out the intestines and puts it around his own neck as a garland. Is that, what kind of activity, what mode will that come in? Tamasic activity, isn't it? Mode of ignorance. But when the Lord does it as Narasimhadev, he kills Hiranyakashipu, takes Hiranyakashipu's intestines and keeps it around his neck. We don't say he's tamasic. He's transcendental, spiritual. Everything the Lord does is spiritual. So if one doesn't have knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, and if one looks at Krishna's activities from a superficial materialistic point of view, as most people in the world do, then they will consider Krishna to be an ordinary man. They say, just see, he is also doing sattvic, rajasic and tamasic activities. Because they do not understand who is Krishna. Tribhir gunamayir bhavir evi sarvamitam jagat. mohitam nabhijanati mabhibhya param avyayam. So Krishna says, the ordinary people in the world, they think I am under the clutches of the modes of material nature. They think like this because they themselves are under the clutches of the modes of nature. But I am forever beyond the three modes of nature. So if one does not have knowledge, one may imagine someone who is under the modes of nature to be beyond the modes of nature. And without knowledge, one would imagine somebody who is above the modes of nature to be within the modes of nature. Right? So, if one doesn't have knowledge, then it is very difficult. So, while your answer is correct, but as a test, it is hard to implement. Some other reason? Yes? Great sadhus and Vaishnavas should accept. Okay, yes, that is correct. And why will they accept? Because it is there in the scripture. Isn't it? Otherwise, no sadhus will accept somebody unless he is predicted in the scripture. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashritam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. He says, no? Then what does he say next verse? Ahustva amrishah sarve devarshi naradas tatha asito devado vyasa svayam chaiva pravishime. Oh my dear Krishna, you are the param dhamma, you are the supreme abode. You are the supreme absolute truth. You are the original divine personality. You are the supreme lord of everything. All the great sages like Asita, Devala, Narada, Vyasa have declared it. And now you yourself are declaring the same thing. Svayam cha eva bravishine. You are Svayam, you yourself are saying this now. So Krishna himself saying means it is Bhagavad Gita. So the rishis, the sadhus will simply repeat what is there in the Shastra. Isn't it? So again, what you are saying is correct. But it is basically connected to this point that he must be predicted in the scripture. Any other points? Yes. Excellent. Very nice. He must show his Virat Roop, his universal form, like he showed to Arjuna, or even like he showed to Duryodhana. That was a condensed Virat Roop. But still he showed that Virat Roop. One time Srila Prabhupada was in New York. In the beginning of his preaching activities there, you know, he had a small shop front and many people used to come. Random people passing by would come and they would see some announcement and they would walk in, and slowly there was talk going on around that area. There is some very interesting spiritual guru who has come from India and he's very mystical and he's giving very nice talks. Please come and attend. So all sorts of people would come in. Most of them were hippies, long hair, and many of them were, you know, very unclean, etc., etc. Sometimes people who were intoxicated would also come. One time one drunk man came to attend the lecture of Prabhupada. Today we are disturbed as speakers, that people are walking in and out, children making noise. Of course, as time goes on, we have to make the discipline and create that culture. But imagine Prabhupada's situation. Not just people coming and going, we'll have somebody who's intoxicated lying down like that. Somebody will create some noise. One time one mad person came, he had taken drugs, he was not in possession of his mind. He started screaming suddenly. So all these things Prabhupada had to endure. Just imagine a conservative 70-year-old sannyasi from Vrindavan coming and he's seeing all these young people taking drugs, dressing in so many inappropriate ways. How much he had to tolerate. So one time there was this intoxicated drunk man who came. And Prabhupada was speaking about how we cannot accept somebody as God unless he shows his Virat Roop, his universal form. And then he described that universal form. And then this man got up and said, I am Krishna. So can you show your Virat Roop,
your universal form?
He said, yes.
So he stood up. He was drunk, of course. He stood on his toes and he spread his hands out like that and he stretched himself. See the Virat Roop? And everybody laughed, of course. So Prabhupada said, no. Krishna does not display this kind of Virat Roop. He shows the Virat Roop that he demonstrated before Arjuna. And the whole 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is a description of that Virat Roop and how Arjuna was so wonderstruck to see this form. So that is another condition. He must show his Virat Roop. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also showed Virat Roop. He also showed Sharbhuj form, six-armed form, four-armed form. He showed so many forms of Godhead. Even as Radha Krishna, he showed himself to Ramananda Raya. So therefore, to accept somebody as the Supreme Lord, as an avatar, it is not just a casual thing. It is not just a matter of showing some miraculous powers or having some charisma, etc. One time, there was a sadhu in India who is still very, very popular and famous in South India. And his followers would always address him as Bhagavan. And till today he is still known as Bhagavan also, even though he is no longer on the planet. And when some people asked him that, are you Bhagavan? You claim you are Bhagavan? He said, no. But then your followers call you Bhagavan? He said, my followers call me, what can I do? So Prabhupada was very upset when he heard this. When some of his disciples told him that, he said, no. If somebody calls him Bhagavan, he should immediately deny. And he should say, I am not Bhagavan. Don't call me Bhagavan. In Sanskrit, there is a proverb, Maunam Sammati Lakshanam. You have heard this proverb? It means that if you are silent, it signifies your agreement. If someone comes to you and said, Prabhu, you are the greatest devotee in history, and you keep quiet, what does it mean? It means that you are agreeing with his statement. And then you can say, well, Prabhu, I didn't say yes. You didn't say yes, but you didn't say no either. So if somebody says something like that, we must immediately say no. Even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear people calling him the Supreme Lord, he would close his ears and say, Vishnu, 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 don't commit such a big offense. To call a jiva as Vishnu is great blasphemy. It is an offense against the Supreme Lord. Even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was the Supreme Lord, but since he was playing the role of a devotee of the Lord, he had to set an example and teach the world how we should react if somebody calls us Bhagavan or Avatar. So because this particular sadhu, who was known as Bhagavan, never even once told his followers not to call him Bhagavan, it means that he was going along with them. I mean, he was also in his heart agreeing, yes, let them say. But Prabhupada was not like that. One time, there were some devotees in America who started speaking about Prabhupada as an incarnation, because they were very faithful disciples and they were so appreciative of Prabhupada. In all their good sentiment, they started glorifying Prabhupada. But you see, excessive praise is also an insult. And this is philosophically untrue. When they started saying Prabhupada is God, he is an avatar. So Prabhupada became so angry and upset, he actually asked them to leave the institution. He said, you will create havoc here by spreading all these false teachings. He said, I am not God. I am the servant of God. So Srila Prabhupada was so strong on this point of philosophy. Nobody should claim that I am God, and certainly nobody should claim that they are God. God is Krishna. Therefore, he said, I have named my organization as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He said many others are naming their institutions after themselves. So and so mission, etc. But I am naming after Krishna. It is not International Society for Prabhupada Consciousness. It is Krishna Consciousness. So in this way, Prabhupada was so clear about these things. He did not tolerate anyone even calling him as God. So therefore, who is God, who is not God, is an important topic that we have to think about, and we have to learn, and we have to spread this knowledge among the devotee, on the people at large, so that people will not be misled. There will be other smaller conditions to fulfill also, of course, but primarily these four conditions are the major ones. And even sometimes if some avatar is not able to, does not, out of his choice, display the Virat Roop, but at least the other conditions must be fulfilled. Vamanadeva also displayed a Virat Roop, isn't it? He expanded himself and became as big as the universe. So if we understand this knowledge, then we will know who is an avatar, who is not an avatar. Then we should worship that genuine avatar of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago approximately in this world. His advent was already predicted. He comes from time to time. Sambhavami yuge yuge. In every yuga he comes in different forms. So therefore it is important for us to know who is God and who is not God. So as devotees of Lord Krishna especially, we should be very clear about these things. And on Janmashtami time, we should glorify the Supreme Lord as the one original avatari Krishna. And you are all very fortunate that you came away into a distant land in the desert, but you have transformed it into Vrindavan. Because you are here in avatari desh. Krishna is the source of all avatars. So he is called avatari. But because he also descends into this world, he is also called an avatar. Avatarati iti avataraha. He who descends into this world is called an avatar. Because the Supreme Lord, who is avatari, he also descends into this world, the avatari is also sometimes referred to as an avatar. But we should understand clearly that Lord Krishna of Vrindavan is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom all other forms of Godhead emanate. So therefore he is called avatari. And his desh is Vrindavan. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki
Jai.
Shri Krishna Janmashtami Mahotsav ki
Jai.
Gaur Premanande
Hare,
Hare Krishna.